Good morning, and welcome to News Briefing, your daily dive into the headlines shaping our world. I'm Arjiv.
And I'm Arohi, ready to bring you the details behind today's top stories.
Arohi, before we jump into the news, let's mark a moment in history. On this day, May 17, in 1792, 24 stockbrokers signed the Buttonwood Agreement in New York City, officially forming what would become the New York Stock Exchange. A foundational moment for global finance, and a perfect reminder of how deeply interconnected our economy is, a theme we'll touch on today.
Absolutely, Arjiv. From market movements to geopolitical shifts, it's all connected.
Indeed. And today, we're drawing from a wide array of sources, including BBC News, Hacker News, US Top News and Analysis, and many others, to bring you a comprehensive look at what's happening. Let's start right here at home, in the US political arena, where we're seeing some fascinating developments ahead of upcoming elections. There's a primary challenge unfolding in Kentucky that's drawing attention. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Kentucky's political landscape is famously unpredictable, often producing surprising figures. This Tuesday, the state is once again in the spotlight as a rebellious Republican faces a tough primary challenge. It's a contest that highlights the ongoing internal dynamics within the party and how various factions are vying for influence. The state has a history of independent-minded voters and politicians, making every election a high-stakes, closely watched event. This particular primary is seen as a bellwether for the kind of candidates voters are favoring in the current political climate. The outcome could signal shifts in voter sentiment and party alignment heading into the general election cycle.
And speaking of internal party dynamics, Arohi, we've also seen President Trump tighten his grasp on the Republican Party in a very significant way, particularly with the recent loss of Senator Bill Cassidy in Louisiana. This seems to be a clear message about the cost of defiance within the GOP. Can you elaborate?
You're absolutely right, Arjiv. Senator Bill Cassidy, a two-term Republican from Louisiana, who famously voted to convict President Trump in his 2021 impeachment trial, was decisively defeated in the Republican primary. This loss is a powerful demonstration of President Trump's enduring dominance and influence within the party. Trump threw his full support behind Cassidy's challenger, Julia Letlow, branding the incumbent as disloyal. This endorsement proved to be a critical factor in Letlow's victory, underscoring that diverging from the former president's stance often carries severe political consequences for Republicans. Cassidy himself took a veiled swipe at Trump, saying that power should not focus on one individual, a sentiment that clearly didn't resonate with the primary electorate. While Trump's ability to oust challengers solidifies his control over the GOP, it also raises questions about the party's broader appeal heading into the midterms. A more homogeneous party, closely aligned with one individual, might face challenges attracting a wider range of voters in general elections, potentially becoming a liability in purple or swing districts. This outcome further reinforces the idea that for many within the Republican base, loyalty to Trump is paramount, and any perceived deviation can be politically fatal. It signals a continued culling of dissenting voices, shaping a party that is increasingly unified under a singular banner.
That's a significant development, certainly. And as we look ahead to upcoming elections, the economy always looms large. President Trump's potential run for office again comes at a time when soaring prices are testing voters' finances and patience. How critical is this economic factor right now?
It's absolutely critical, Arjiv. With another election just months away, potentially hinging on economic issues, the war in Iran has sent the cost of gas and other essential goods soaring. This rapid inflation is directly impacting the wallets of everyday Americans, and consequently, their patience with the current economic situation. For any political leader, including President Trump, these rising prices present a formidable challenge. Voters tend to cast their ballots based on their personal financial well-being, and when the cost of living becomes a daily struggle, it can significantly sway public opinion. The perception of economic stability, or lack thereof, often outweighs other policy concerns in the minds of many voters. Therefore, the ability to address or at least be seen as addressing these inflationary pressures will be a key determinant in how voters view potential candidates. It's a direct test of economic policy and promises, and how effectively they translate to relief for the average consumer. The public's financial anxiety is a potent political force, and it's clearly at play right now.
It certainly sounds like a make-or-break issue. And staying on the intersection of business and politics, we've seen a story about a CEO and Trump donor reportedly weaponizing tariffs against his rivals. What's the gist of that situation?
This is a fascinating case, Arjiv, highlighting how business interests can directly intersect with political influence. Marty Davis, the CEO of Cambria, a major quartz countertop manufacturer, and a known Trump donor, has successfully lobbied the U.S. government to impose tariffs on imported quartz. His business competitors are crying foul, alleging that these tariffs are not about fair trade, but rather about stifling competition and giving Cambria an unfair advantage in the market. The argument from Davis and his supporters is that these tariffs are necessary to protect American jobs and industries from unfairly priced foreign goods. However, critics, including his rivals, contend that such actions are an abuse of the tariff system, using political connections to benefit one company at the expense of others and, ultimately, consumers who might face higher prices. It's a classic example of how trade policy can be influenced by domestic political contributions and the debate over what constitutes fair competition versus protectionism. The outcome of these tariff disputes can significantly reshape entire industries and consumer choices, demonstrating the tangible impact of such behind-the-scenes lobbying efforts.
A clear demonstration of how high the stakes are when business and politics intertwine. Now, let's shift our focus internationally, Arohi, where geopolitical tensions continue to make headlines. The war in Iran, for instance, is having a crippling effect, particularly on one of the world's wealthiest nations. Which country are we talking about, and what's the impact?
We're talking about Qatar, Arjav. The ongoing war in Iran has had devastating economic consequences, directly impacting one of the wealthiest nations on Earth. Iranian attacks have essentially paralyzed Qatar's vital gas exports, which are a cornerstone of its economy. Furthermore, these disruptions are stalling Qatar's ambitious plans for tourism and business pivots, strategies that were intended to anchor its future growth beyond traditional energy exports. The country, known for its vast natural gas reserves and high per capita income, is now grappling with significant economic setbacks. The attacks have not only interrupted the flow of critical resources but have also instilled a sense of instability that deter foreign investment and tourism. This situation highlights how regional conflicts, even when seemingly contained to one area, can send ripple effects across an entire region, impacting global energy markets and the economic diversification efforts of neighboring states. Qatar's experience is a stark reminder of the broader economic fragility that can arise from sustained geopolitical instability.
That's a stark illustration of global interconnectedness. And related to the broader Middle East, we're seeing continued challenges to a ceasefire in Lebanon. What's the latest there?
Despite President Trump announcing a truce last month, Arjav, Israel, and Hezbollah have continued to exchange fire. The situation remains volatile, with recent reports indicating that 6 people were killed in an Israeli strike. This persistent violence underscores the fragility of the ceasefire and the deep-seated tensions in the region. The initial announcement of a truce was met with cautious optimism, but the continued exchanges of fire suggest that achieving a lasting peace agreement is proving to be incredibly difficult. Both sides appear entrenched, and any incident, like the recent strike, has the potential to escalate the conflict further. International efforts to mediate and ensure adherence to the ceasefire have been ongoing, but the continued casualties and retaliatory actions highlight the significant obstacles to de-escalation. The region remains a powder keg, with ongoing violence threatening to unravel any diplomatic progress.
A deeply concerning situation, indeed. And moving from the Middle East to a more complex global story involving China, NPR has been reporting on foreign fighters who helped topple Assad in Syria, and why China is so worried about them. Can you tell us more about this?
This is a truly compelling and complex story, Arjav. Thousands of Uyghurs from China became key fighters against Syria's Assad regime. For the first time, NPR spent weeks with some of these individuals, conducting interviews to understand why they fled China and became involved in the Syrian conflict. Their stories reveal a desperate flight from what they describe as oppressive conditions in China, particularly in the Xinjiang region, to what they hoped would be a sanctuary or a cause for their identity. Many joined various rebel factions, gaining significant combat experience. For China, the existence of these highly motivated and experienced Uyghur fighters abroad is a major concern. Beijing views them as a potential threat to its internal security, fearing that they could return to China and fuel separatist movements or engage in extremist activities. Experts suggest China is actively working to track and neutralize these networks globally, seeing them as a direct challenge to its domestic stability and a source of potential radicalization. This situation highlights the complex interplay between ethnic identity, religious freedom, global conflict, and geopolitical strategy, with China's concerns extending far beyond its borders.
That certainly paints a picture of a wide-reaching security concern for Beijing. And building on China's global reach, we've also heard about Chinese agents reportedly spying on expats in the U.S. What do we know about these espionage cases?
These are significant developments, Arjav, highlighting a broader pattern of global influence peddling by China. Experts point to 2 prominent espionage cases in the U.S. that underscore China's concerted attempts to exert influence and gather intelligence on its expatriate communities over the past decade. These cases often involve targeting Chinese dissidents, activists, or individuals perceived as threats to the Chinese Communist Party, even when they reside abroad. The tactics reportedly include surveillance, harassment, and attempts to coerce individuals or their families back in China. These operations are part of a wider strategy by Beijing to extend its domestic security apparatus beyond its borders, silencing dissent and maintaining control over its citizens, wherever they may be. For U.S. authorities, these cases represent a direct challenge to national sovereignty and the freedoms enjoyed by residents within American borders. It's a complex and ongoing effort by intelligence agencies to counter what they describe as a sustained campaign of foreign interference and espionage, aimed at suppressing voices and gathering sensitive information outside of legal channels.
That's a concerning trend, to say the least, reflecting the long arm of state power. Now, let's pivot to a different kind of societal trend, one that's seeing more and more Americans considering life beyond U.S. borders. What's driving this record number of Americans leaving the country?
It's a fascinating phenomenon, Arjav. Americans are indeed leaving the U.S. in record numbers, and many are spending hundreds of dollars just to learn how to do it. Events like Expatsies, Move Abroad Con, have attracted hundreds of Americans, all hoping to gain the knowledge and resources needed to relocate overseas. The motivations are varied, ranging from seeking a lower cost of living, political disenchantment, a desire for different cultural experiences, or even simply a better work-life balance. For many, the perception is that other countries offer advantages in areas like healthcare, social services, or personal safety that are increasingly difficult to find at home. This growing exodus reflects a significant shift in perspective for many individuals who are actively exploring alternatives to life in the United States. The investment in these move abroad resources clearly indicates a serious commitment to making such a significant life change, suggesting that this trend is more than just a passing fancy for a small minority.
That's a remarkable societal shift. And while some are seeking new lives abroad, we also have a report detailing the heavy toll that immigration crackdowns within the U.S. are taking on mental health. Can you walk us through the findings from Zocalo Health?
Zocalo Health, a clinic in Los Angeles, has been meticulously tracking this issue, Arjav. They screen all their patients for depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts, and their data documents a marked increase in these conditions since recent ICE enforcement actions began. This report provides tangible evidence of the profound psychological impact that aggressive immigration policies and enforcement can have on individuals and communities. The constant fear of detention, deportation, or separation from family creates a pervasive sense of stress and insecurity. For many, these actions lead to chronic anxiety, exacerbating existing mental health conditions or triggering new ones. The clinic's findings highlight that beyond the immediate legal and logistical challenges, there is a significant public health crisis unfolding, directly linked to the stress and trauma associated with immigration crackdowns. It's a critical reminder that these policies have deep human costs that extend far beyond border control.
A very serious human cost. And from personal well-being, let's briefly look at tourism trends, specifically in Goa, India. It seems foreign tourists are falling out of love with the destination. What's happening there?
It's a striking contrast, Arjav. Foreign visitors to Goa have nearly halved from their pre-COVID peak, even as domestic tourism is booming. This decline in international interest is puzzling some observers, given Goa's long-standing reputation as a global beach destination. Several factors are being cited, including increased competition from other international destinations, changes in travel preferences post-pandemic, and potentially, shifts in the overall tourist experience in Goa itself, which might now be catering more to domestic travelers. While the vibrant domestic market is certainly a positive for the local economy, the significant drop in foreign tourist numbers indicates a need for reassessment by the local tourism industry and government to understand and address the changing global perceptions of this once iconic destination. It highlights how quickly preferences can shift in the competitive world of international travel.
An interesting reversal of fortunes for a popular spot. And before we move on to technology and culture, a quick update on some breaking news out of Europe. What's the situation in Italy?
In Italy, Arjav, a disturbing incident occurred where a man drove a car into pedestrians, injuring 8 people, 4 of them seriously. Passersby quickly gave chase and managed to stop the man. Authorities are investigating the full circumstances of the incident, including the driver's motive and any potential links to other issues. The swift action of the public in apprehending the individual helped prevent further harm. This kind of event is always deeply concerning and underscores the unpredictable nature of public safety incidents. Updates on the condition of the injured and the investigation will likely follow as more details emerge.
A frightening event, thankfully contained by quick-thinking citizens. Now, let's transition to the exciting and rapidly evolving world of technology, starting with artificial intelligence. We're hearing that the ICAI, India's Institute of Chartered Accountants, is making a significant curriculum change. What's in store for future CAs?
That's right, Arjav. The Institute of Chartered Accountants of India, or ICAI, is set to embed artificial intelligence and data analytics directly into its CA syllabus. This is a very forward-thinking move, recognizing the transformative impact of these technologies on the financial and accounting sectors. Future chartered accountants will be equipped with the skills to leverage AI for tasks like predictive analysis, fraud detection, automating audit processes, and handling massive datasets. It signals a major shift from traditional accounting practices to a more technologically integrated approach, ensuring that Indian CAs are globally competitive and prepared for the demands of the digital economy. This integration will likely reshape how financial reporting, auditing, and advisory services are conducted, making data-driven decision-making central to the profession.
That's a huge step towards modernizing the profession. And on a related note, there's an interesting discussion gaining traction about AI itself, with many arguing that AI is a technology, not a product. Can you expand on that distinction?
This distinction is crucial for understanding the future development and application of AI, Arjav. The argument is that AI, in its essence, is a foundational technology, a set of capabilities, algorithms, and models, rather than a finished consumer product itself. Think of electricity or the internet. They are technologies that power countless products and services. Similarly, AI provides the intelligence that enhances everything from search engines and recommendation systems to medical diagnostics and autonomous vehicles. The implication is that companies should focus on integrating AI as an enabling layer into existing products or using it to build entirely new, innovative applications, rather than simply trying to package AI as a standalone, marketable item. This perspective emphasizes that the real value of AI lies in its ability to augment human capabilities, automate complex tasks, and unlock new possibilities across various industries, rather than being a singular, off-the-shelf solution. It's about how AI is applied, not just its existence.
A powerful distinction for how we perceive and develop AI. And now, for a change of pace, let's turn to some international cultural news that always brings a smile, Eurovision. What's the big news from this year's competition?
Well, Arjav, in a truly unexpected turn, Bulgaria has bagged its first ever Eurovision win. Performer Dara stormed to victory with her catchy, banging anthem, Bangaranga, besting 24 other nations at the 70th edition of the International Singing Extravaganza. Bulgaria was certainly not among the favorites, making their win even more exciting and a testament to the unpredictable nature of the contest. The performance was vibrant, energetic, and clearly resonated with both the juries and the public voters across Europe and beyond. It was a night of high energy and memorable performances, and a fantastic moment for Bulgaria to finally claim the coveted title. Ukraine also made headlines, not for winning, but for breaking the record for the longest note ever sung at Eurovision, adding another layer of excitement to the evening.
A fantastic, unexpected win for Bulgaria. But while some nations are celebrating, others continue to struggle, and I believe the UK is still looking for answers after another disappointing Eurovision outing. What's the mood there?
Indeed, Arjav. After 4 consecutive years of less than stellar results, including one infamous nil points outing, the mood in the UK is one of quiet contemplation, or perhaps a bit of comedic resignation. The BBC is now facing tough questions about how it approaches Eurovision in 2027, needing to rethink its strategy. Despite sending talented artists and well-produced songs, the UK just hasn't been able to connect with the wider European voting bloc. There's a lot of debate about whether it's the song choice, the performance, or even geopolitical factors at play. The phrase, "Look, Mum, 1 point," has almost become a running joke, but behind the humor is a genuine desire to understand why a country with such a rich musical heritage consistently struggles in this particular competition. It's certainly a puzzle they'll be trying to solve before next year's contest.
A perplexing challenge for the UK, but undoubtedly entertaining for the rest of us. Well, Arohi, that brings us to the end of another packed news briefing. Before we sign off, here's a fun fact to brighten your day. The very first webcam was invented in 1991 at the University of Cambridge to monitor the coffee pot in the Trojan room, allowing researchers to see if there was fresh coffee without leaving their desks. Talk about dedication to caffeine and technological innovation.
That's a brilliant fact, Arjav. A true testament to human ingenuity driven by necessity, or perhaps, just a strong desire for coffee.
Absolutely. And on that note, we thank you for tuning in to News Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines and analysis. Until then, have a great day.